The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Sunday evening on August 6th, 2023. And the title of the message tonight is What You Don't Know Can Leave You Burning in Hell. Oh, that's a tough one. So we're going to start out here, and we're talking about biblical illiteracy today in America, but I just wanted to start with a little commentary. Not only is God's Word, the King James Bible, the most credible explanation for all of creation, it is the absolute, perfect, and authoritative declaration of God Himself. And we're going to take a look at that because people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And today, biblical illiteracy is rampant today. And so, let's go here to Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showed his handiwork. Well, here, the glory of God expounded by the heavens is not only the infinite power, variety, and complexity seen in the stars, but also in the Lord Jesus himself. Not just the creation, but in the Creator. The brightness of his glory. The signs established in the stars. When he arranged the constellations, referred to over in Job, in fact. So, here, when we take a look at this, the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. The message goes forth from all creation, all of space, and all the time. It's continuous. The entire creation, the entire universe is giving and bearing witness to an almighty, infinite God. Continuously. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Well, again, folks, here all of the world witness, like all of creation. I often will have people say, well, Pastor, how do you expect these people living in the jungles that have never seen the Bible, never heard a preacher preach? Look, God has no limitations on his ability to reach people, and he speaks to their heart. But they know, all of these people know that you cannot possibly have a creation, especially a magnificent creation, without a magnificent creator. Even nature itself teaches you that. Their line is going out through all of the earth. Well, that line is referring to it. It's set forth. That's a measuring forth. The line refers to a surveyor's line, and it's referring to a physical creation, which is everything in space and in time. God's creation is the standard against which all men are measured. And so the heavens declare the glory of God, but all come short of the glory of God. And then we see here, their line is going out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world, in them hath set a tabernacle for the sun. Now, this is the S-U-N. And here you're seeing an application, and you're seeing the lightness of the S-O-N and the S-U-N. We're seeing the brightness of both and the energy that comes forth out of both of them. It's what it's referring to. And God has made a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, he hath put around it, he hath clothed around the S-U-N with space and planets and whatever. He goes on. I mean, and again, this is far, far beyond our ability to even start to comprehend just how extreme, how extraordinary, and the complexity of God's creation of space. How do we get all of the planets rotating around the sun, and the moons rotating around the planets, and everything is kept in balance perfectly? His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit into the ends, and there is nothing hid from the heat of thereof. And so here, when it says going, which goes forth, he's talking about from the sun itself, that is the heat, the radiant energy which sustains all life on earth and even energizes the entire solar system. He's going forth from the end of heaven. So again, this is the heat of the S-U-N, and the brightness, but it's there by the S-O-N, by God the Son. So it's a likening of the two, the creator and the creation here. And it says, is going forth from the ends of the heaven, and a circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So here, well, the revelation in God's creation will condemn the soul, only the written revelation described here in 19:7, which we just read, 7 through 9, can convert or restore the soul. As he says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now here, the statutes of the Lord, the physical word, gives mighty testimony, if you will, to the existence of God and his power in creation. But only the written word can give testimony to the power of God in salvation, which we have right here. You understand, the Bible says the scriptures are perfect, they're sure, they're right, they're pure, they're forever, they're true, and they're righteous altogether. And so, as we go here, we read, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and the keeping of them are great reward. Who can understand his errors? And cleanse thou me from the secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. He goes on, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Well, here, indeed, through the Lord Jesus Christ, sin shall not have dominion over us, over you, if you're saved. For you are not under the law, but under grace. He says here, let the words of my mouth... You notice something here? You notice how let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and acceptable in thy sight. How frequent the New Testament joining of what we think with what we say. We look all through Matthew and Romans and Colossians and we see that conjoining together the words of what we're thinking and then with what we're saying. Now, that's not always the very same, but it's an amazing thing. I know of some people that have a problem expressing themselves. Sometimes it comes as a stutter. They know what they're trying to say. They can write it down on a piece of paper. But often to put it in words, they have an extremely difficult problem. And this is what he's talking about here. How the authors, what they're thinking are put into words on paper. And so, here I want to go to Romans chapter 11. And in Romans chapter 11, and we're talking about literacy, the Word of God, from where all wisdom comes, in comparison today with what the world is doing. The world who... You know, Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. And today, to reject God's word when they're looking everywhere for the answers, everywhere. I know as a pastor, this world is just filled with problems. The families are under so much pressure today. Marriages are breaking up as quick as they're made. And why? Well, and I keep hearing all of these people talking about they're seeking psychologists, the counseling. They're looking for their counselors, psychological counselors. Folks, the answers is in God's Word, the Bible. It kind of works this way. It always has. God has no problems, and he has all the answers. Man has no answers, and we have all the problems. And so here in Romans chapter 11, we read verse 33, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. So all wisdom, knowledge is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He's the sustainer. Now, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning. And that word there means reverence, the understanding, the reverence. When we think of God's awesomeness, and we read that over both in Romans 1, verse 7 and Romans 9, verse 10, means the awareness and comprehensions, when we talk about the wisdom of God, of facts. You know, it's an interesting thing. I mean, we're living in a day where everything they call science is everything but science. I would laugh when Fauci used to say, stick to the science. And Joe Obama Biden would say, the science, stick to the science. And what they were doing was as far from science, it was witchcraft. It was voodoo. It was no science involved with this whole COVID thing, what they were doing. We knew that from the beginning. Common sense would tell you that. And here, apart from the intervention of the Holy Spirit, man's intelligence, folks, is completely insufficient to even begin to discern God's judgments and God's ways. We read that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. The world by wisdom knew not God. All of God's gifts to men are by grace. God needs nothing in return from men. All things are sustained and held together by the word of his power. God is completely self-existent and pre-existent with unlimited power. And here today, and it just amazes me that those on the left are talking about deleting God. They're talking about deleting God. They're saying through AI now, they're going to come up with a brand new Bible out of artificial intelligence. And they're going to delete God. I got news for them. Those folks are in for a real shocker. I mean, they're in for an extremely, extremely rude awakening. Let's go over to Job, the book of Job. And in Job, chapter 21, I believe. And I'll get there in a minute. Job 21, verses 13 through 17. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. Now, folks, this is exactly what they're doing today. This is exactly what Klaus Schwab is doing. This is exactly what Harari is doing. This is exactly what people like Bill Gates and George Soros are doing. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of his way. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? That's exactly what Harari says. And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? He's making a mockery of praying to God. Lo, their good is not in their hand, and the counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is the candle of the wicked put out, and how often cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Now the wicked is reserved, in verse 30 we read, the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. So here, by their works and by their actions, the politically correct and the woke heathen today are telling God that, they want to stay stupid. They really do. They revel in their stubborn rebellion so that they can receive the wrath of God. And so, in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, It's time to wet my whistle. This is the third time preaching his message today. Starting with, in Proverbs 1, starting with verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Now here we see that word wisdom is referred to as a wise kinswoman. In other words, an Israeli mother. In contrast to, and we see this throughout the Proverbs here, in contrast to the strange woman. Now the strange woman we see referred to, and it's an interesting thing how they refer to both wisdom and here at this time a strange woman is a wanton woman, a whorish woman. We read here in chapter 9, verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing, in other words, boisterous, for she setteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in. In other words, who is stupid enough to turn in hither? And as far for it is for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So here is a contrasting of the godly woman and the wicked woman. And we see here how, and by the way, this also is an interesting thing, because there are those out there that have taken and built a false doctrine on these verses here. And what I'm talking about is referring to wisdom. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Now, again, wisdom is referring here to, again, a wise mother. It's explained as, but wisdom actually comes, all wisdom comes from God. And it's through the unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are those that are saying, that actually say, and they use these verses to try to prove that the Holy Spirit is a woman. In other words, there are those that say, well, the Trinity is the Father, the Mother, and the Son, and instead of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they're using this, they're saying the Holy Ghost is actually the Mother. They're trying to make this analogy, which is just not there. Now, I know that they do refer to some things in this, and I can see to some degree how they can make an association. For example, the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Well, how can me, a man, be referred to as a bride? Okay. You know, we can't. But it's just an analogy or a comparison. So you say, here you go. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Well, folks, they do. Today, especially, more than ever. And he's telling them this. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Okay, here, if we read in Joel 2:28 or Acts 2:17, referring to God, the Holy Spirit, here, thus wisdom, through the personified, initially as a wise mother in Israel, as we mentioned before, clearly speaks of as God himself, the Holy Ghost. And so here, obviously there in chapter 8, we read that. In fact, I'm not going to go there right now. I want to continue. But, so we go here, we say, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all of my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh in your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And so here, again, we're seeing how biblical illiteracy, how lack of knowledge of the Word of God, all of the things today, when I look at, and you know, I laugh, and I should, because it's not funny, it's pitiful, but when you look at especially these college kids, the things that they're saying, the ideas that they're coming up with, it's just amazing how they find in communism, how they find in communism or globalism, how they feel that to restrict the freedom of speech, that only certain people should be allowed to think what they think and say what they say. And this was happening today, that if you disagree with the so-called woke mindset, you should not be given the platform. You should not be able to have to express yourself, folks. And this comes right out of the teachings of Karl Marx. But these kids are clueless. They're absolutely clueless. And this is what comes up with, you know, the lack of wisdom. These people today, when you just amazed, you scratch your head. Not at what they know, but what they don't know. It's an amazing thing. And so, if I go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read this, starting with verse 6. Through verse 9. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Now, he's referring to apostate pastors. The houses referred to here are church houses. But the application is the very same today in the universities and the colleges. Just like in the churches where you have these apostate preachers, you have these apostate, if you will, teachers that are not teaching knowledge or giving information, but disinformation. He goes on, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Well, we see this today. The modern so-called intellectuals, educators, believe that there is no absolute truth. Now, this is an interesting thing. You talk about a dichotomy, right? And you'll say, now, let me ask you this again. You don't believe in absolutes. Correct. There are no absolutes. So you just said there are no absolute truth. Is that an absolute? Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? A double-minded man is what in all of his ways? For the sort of these which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. It's an interesting thing. If you look at your so-called prosperity churches, in the prosperity churches, they're, and I'm talking about Joel Osteen, I'm talking about these where they have these so-called charismatic Paula White and these teachers. You look and you'll see within the assembly, usually it's about 80%, 70 to 80% of those in the assembly are women. They're women. It's an, today, the highest amount of people to vote for Democrats, almost 80% are single women. So that tells you their discernment. They're extremely, extremely lacking in discernment there. And this is what the Bible teaches. This is where the enemy attacks women in the area of discernment. Today you've got, you know, I mean, we have some very, very strange things out there where they don't know what a woman is, and then now all of a sudden you've got these trans things, these transgenders, and then you've got the trans species things that came along, and now they got a new one where they believe you can do trans race. That's right, folks. You get ready for this one. And here's how it works. They were demonstrating how trans race works. You see, let's just say that you are a Caucasian woman and you want to become an Oriental woman. Well, you go and you meditate and you dream at night about your eyes becoming slanted. And every night when you dream more and more about your eyes becoming slanted, they become a little bit more slanted. And as you look in the mirror in the morning, you see that they're a little bit more slanted. And you can do this with other things too. This is what these people are teaching. Okay, this is lunacy, silly women laden with sins. Now, he says that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, why not? It's because they're never learning the truth. They're never learning the truth. I mean, today there are actually more young females attending colleges, more women are attending colleges today than men. And they're all coming out dumber than ever. They're coming out dumbed down more than ever. And we read here, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those that resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now Jannes and Jambres were the names of the false prophets in Egypt. And here they used witchcraft. They used witchcraft to challenge Moses. And here, actually, it was a challenge to God. And when Moses threw down his staff, and his staff became a serpent, they threw down their staffs to the power of Satan, and their staffs became serpents. But Moses' serpent swallowed up theirs. And then they said to Pharaoh, his power is greater than ours, okay? It wasn't Moses' power, it was God's power. He says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Well, we saw that. That's exactly what happened when Jambres, wasn't it? And so, as we continue, we want to go over to Jeremiah chapter 4. And in Jeremiah chapter 4, as we continue to look at those of wisdom, those that receive wisdom, versus those that the biblically illiterate, and all of the problems today that could be solved. Again, it works this way. Man has no answers. Man has a lot of problems. In order for the answers, we have to go to God to get the right answers. God has no problems. He's got all the answers, but he has no problems. In Jeremiah chapter 4, we read this. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Here it's an interesting thing. Because this has a near future as in an application, if you will, when it says the mountains trembled, the coming waves of invasion and destruction by the armies of Babylon would also be punctuated with earthquakes, storms, and finally leaving the land desolate. And so, but in this verse here, 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was void without form. There are those that actually have taken this verse and they have built another false doctrine, and this happens a lot. There's a doctrine that says that out there, it's not a doctrine, it's a false teaching that prior to the Garden of Eden, that prior to that, God had, there had been another creation on earth, and God had wiped that creation out, and then he had made the garden before. And again, there's absolute no biblical authority in any would say, or historical authority in any way, to give any kind of credence to that at all. And so here, you have today, from the days of Adam, the single main source of learning and knowledge was the Word of God. All of the actual factual evidence of human existence, folks, started and ended with God's Word. The human conditions resulting in a dearth of God's Word is called, it's called stupid, folks. That's what that word sottish means. And the symptoms of this mental deficiency, if you will, and I guess I could call it a mental deficiency. It is. It can be the following. Just think about this. We're at war continuously with people that believe that there are more than two genders. Folks, there are not more than two genders. No one has ever seen a third or a fourth or a fifth or sixth. God made two genders, folks. That's it. Now, that's reality. But now out there, you've got all of these delusional people. And you've got people that are, they're making mutations. Here, the belief that men can get pregnant and give birth to children. Folks, if you give birth, if you're giving birth, you are not a man. Okay, do you understand me? If you are having a baby and you're giving birth, you are not a man. Now, again, what they're doing is they're mutilating people, trying to make this happen, totally go against nature. But these are not normal. These are freaks of nature. These are freaks. This is not a normalcy by any way means. And so it's not reality. in an urge to make a mockery out of the female gender, if you will, by self-defiling, called drag queens today. They defile themselves to do it to make a mockery out of women. And guess what? Women are starting to understand what's going on. They're starting to figure this out. Here, folks, what I just told you, that opinion on all of these is held by 99.9% of intelligent people. And then I want to go over to Hosea chapter 4. And in Hosea chapter 4, and I want to start in Hosea chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no... Now, see if this does not apply to America today, to the land we're living in today, to the United States of America. Again, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Well, there is some. But again, biblical literacy is on the rise. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. I just read to you the platform of the Democratic Party, the woke party today, those on the left especially. That's their platform. If God's word, the Bible, calls it a transgression or a sin, they embrace it. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yes, with the fishes of the sea, also shall be taken away. So what is he saying? He's telling you there that all of the problems we have with the environment, the problems we have in the environment, are not caused by SUVs, are not caused by gas-burning cars and trucks. The problems we have in the environment are caused by man's sin. It's man's sin that is destroying the environment, folks. Now, God has said this. Let no man strive, nor reprove another, for the people are as they that strive with the priest. In other words, God sent them legitimate priests. Legitimate priests. And instead of repenting of their sin and offering up sacrifices, they told the priest, we don't like the way you're doing that, right? We want to do it our way. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. And so what is he saying? He's telling them that they're not going to be a nation of priests. No, they're not, okay? You see, when you're a born-again believer, if you've received the Lord, we become a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. No, he's saying, no, you're not going to be a priest. And I'll get to that in just a minute. And he says, I will destroy thy mother. Thy mother is thy country. In this case, it's referring to the nation of Israel. But it's the country that is referring to the motherland. And he's telling them, I'm going to remove the priests and the prophets. And I'm going to give you priests and prophets that are even more corrupt than you. Even more corrupt to you, folks. We have that in America today. We have apostate to the hilt. And our politicians, we have such corruption in the government today. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Our poor children to this country today. Just unbelievable what, and so many, we're doing all we can trying to help the children. But you got parents that are so unfit and so wicked and so vile, they take their children to see drag queens. And we found out too, which we've known for a while, it's becoming more and more common for parents, in order to feed their drug habits or whatever, to use their children in these sex child rings. And what does he refer to them? Well, he's speaking here now to the leaders of Israel, to the men. And he's telling them that, he says, I sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and they burn incense upon the hills, and under oaks, and the poplars, and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. In other words, they're working in the darkness. And today, here in Ohio, we have a lot of dark money, a lot of corrupt dark money coming in from out of state to try to defeat issue one in Ohio. And folks, let me tell you, vote yes on issue one. Vote yes on issue one. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But he says this, he says, therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your wives, your spouses, shall commit adultery. So he's telling them that I'm going to turn your daughters and your wives into whores, but I'm not going to punish them. He says this, I will not punish your daughters when they come in whoredom, or your spouses when they come in adultery, for themselves are separated with whores. In other words, he's telling these men, the leaders, that you are the whores. And folks, let me tell you, we have that in politics today. And we have it in the judicial. We have such judicial whoredom today. Unbelievable. And boy, I don't know if you can find it any more anywhere than in what is called the mainstream media. I don't know if there's any more whores out there than what you have today in media whores. And so I want to go now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, we read this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Well, therefore always means because of. Now, actually, we got to go back now to read this. In verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. And then he says, therefore, seeing as we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. In other words, folks, they didn't back down. They didn't say, well, this is bigger than us. They continued with the mission that the Lord set before them. And he says here, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, therefore, because we know that we have the knowledge, the hidden things, we have knowledge of the hidden things. That's how we know what the hidden things of dishonesty are. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And so here, boy, I'm going to tell you, we can see that in spades. In whom the God of this world, which hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, of course, the God of this world is, in fact, that word, their world, actually means age of this age, is Satan himself. And Jesus called him the prince of this world over there in John 14:30. And John noted also that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And so today, the so-called brilliant intellectuals, I mean, the so-called brilliant intellectuals today are unable to understand and accept the easy-to-understand gospel of Christ, especially his works of creation and redemption. And because their minds have been blinded, to those wonderful truths here in God's Word, the Bible. So we have to pray to them. We have to pray for them, that the Lord will open their eyes. For we preach not ourselves, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And so he's talking about, look, before we were saved, we were all in darkness. We were all in darkness before we were saved. And so now he's saying, for God hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness and shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, it always goes back to biblical literacy here. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning our bodies, that within our bodies we have this treasure. One, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, okay, which guarantees our salvation. And so we have this treasure in the earthen vessels, with the excellency of the power, maybe of God and not of us. And so, boy, I'm glad it is of God and not of us, folks, because if it was of us, it would not rend very much. Now, here it's really interesting how Paul, he really draws such a beautiful analogy of our new creation in Christ to Christ's creation to the world. But the world that we were initially born in, was darkness. That's right, spiritual darkness through the innate sin. And today the world is in physical darkness. God called for a physical light to divide the darkness in Genesis 1:3-5. He has divided the darkness in our hearts by the spiritual illumination of him who is the light of the world. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus. And I want to go now over to Romans chapter 15. And in Romans chapter 15, one more time to whip my whistle. Romans chapter 15, starting with verse 1. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us and his neighbor please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's the key here, that here We have an absolute obligation to God to boldly proclaim the authority and the truthfulness of God's word. And now again, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be likened one toward another according to the Lord Christ Jesus, that we may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, today, folks, if you really love your children, if you really love your family, your friends, your in-laws, okay, you will be more concerned about them burning in hell than about offending them or making them uncomfortable by preaching repentance of sin and receiving Christ as your Savior. You know, sometimes, you know, you've all gone through that. You've had people, relatives, we've all had relatives who, they just want to get along, and often, and I've seen this, where we have been maybe in a restaurant or someplace and going to ask a blessing over the food, and these people that are unsaved, their relatives that are unsaved, they feel embarrassed. There have been times when I've had some say, well, Pastor, we were going to a family event or I got invited to an event, a picnic or whatever, and there are going to be people there that they have a different lifestyle than we do. And, it would be good if they weren't offended by preaching to. Now, it's an amazing thing, folks, that we're living in this. And so I asked these parents, I asked these people, you know, so would you just say to your friends there, look, I know that preaching the gospel, you know, is offensive to you, so I'm not going to offend you by witnessing the word of God as... And I just hope you're comfortable burning in hell, because that's where you're going to end up. God's word, the Bible, doesn't stutter. You're either saved or you're lost. And instead of giving that witness and boldly, the Lord Jesus said, if you are ashamed of him before man, so shall he be ashamed of you before the Father. Folks, you better get real. God is, and he's your judge. You need to get real. You remember what it said about Janus and Jambres? Now, you know, their phoniness didn't last very long. I know we're running out of time here for tonight, but I can tell you this will happen. Everybody out there listening to me tonight, every single one of you is going to die someday. And when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. There's no in-between. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want, but the reality is you're going to die, and you're going to end up, if you die in your sin, in hell. If you're born again, you're going to end up in heaven and glory. So if I were you, I would go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. We're out of time for tonight. So as we get to this place every night at this time, I guess it's time to say, is it time to say good night? God bless. How many seconds? And always. All right. Keep fighting the fight. We're out of time. Have a good night there, Kyle.
To the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right? What's left? Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 12.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like.
Grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.